scared anyone.
Oh, you little bastard. I nearly shit myself all over again.
They made a perfect, soft touchdown. There was still only the lightest breeze, bringing in tiny breakers that hissed on the gleaming pebbles. With a little effort, they managed to heave the raft up the beach, hauling it above the high water mark.
Oh, I'm getting too old for this shit.
Immersion in the ocean had tightened some of the knots in the rope, but the whole structure was much looser, and it was clumsy and difficult to handle. Trader kicked at the timbers.
Might have to do some work on it before we go back to the island.
Unless we can find us some alternative transport.
Do you think the raft's safe there? How about if the tide comes in?
Should be up far enough. The piles of weeds there show high water, and there's no sign of any sort of storm.
The smell gets in your chest, and it makes your eyes sting, too.
It looks clear farther inland. Depends on how far we have to go to get clear of the fumes.
And the rad hotspot.
Yeah, and the hotspots.
Their first stroke of luck came when they reached the building. As they drew nearer, they could see that there was a rough concrete slipway running from it, toward the sea. The double doors were badly weathered, bleached by the onshore wind. A plain bolt and hasp held them shut. Inside the dark hut were a clinker-built boat about 15 feet long, with an unstepped mast and a set of oars in each. A hole marred the hull. Jack pointed to some shrouded bundles on a shelf running along one wall of the windowless shack.
Sails.
Lever?
Yeah, Christy?
Is this Gaia telling us we should fix that hole, cast off this ruined place, and go elsewhere?
I confess that I have always been puzzled by that aspect of the omnipotence of the Almighty.
How, Doc?
When people say that God is trying to give them a sign or a warning, if our divine creator is truly all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-seeing, then why does he have to resort to such clumsy methodology to pass on his messages? Why not a neat little card pressed into your hand by invisible fingers? To Christy Roth and friends, it is my wish that you sail north of here, and I have provided a craft for your journey, though it needs slight repair. Why not be direct about it?
Yes, Doc. That doesn't answer my question, Doc. If there's bad nuke radiation here, maybe we should simply take the boat and move away from it.
Ah, babe, Orange isn't too serious, providing we don't stay for days. I don't like the idea of moving away without exploring at all. I've never been here, to this part of the Western Islands. None of us has.
Do we need to see some stinking hot springs when we can smell them?
You got a bad feeling about it? Is that why you want us to move on?
Christy stepped into the early morning sunshine, the brightness accentuating the living flames of her brilliant hair. She looked out to sea before replying.
No, I can't say that there's a bad feeling. Not like danger from anyone. But this seems such a foul place.
Ryan joined her, laying his hand on her arm.
Tell you what, we know about this boat if we need it. We'll see what it's like for a mile or so inland. If we can't get through, then we'll come back and fix it up, all right?
She gave him a quick kiss on the cheek.
All right.
Doc tried to lift Flagging Spirits by recounting an anecdote of the time that he and his wife had visited Yellowstone in March of 1892.
Yes, it was quite beautiful. The trees, the flowers, the wildlife. It was truly amazing.
But the oppressive nature of the region through which they were walking lay heavy on the old man.
Nothing like it is... Have I mentioned the wildlife?
Doc fell silent. Ryan was relieved when the old man eventually gave up on his pointless and muddled tale. Ryan had never seen such a depressing, alien terrain. Not anywhere through all his 30-odd years in Deathlands. Here was only a bleak, crazed despair, as though the malevolent and psychotic lords of chaos had given vent to all of their most profoundly horrid imaginings. The path from the coast snaked through a region where not a living thing existed. No birds flew through the tainted, misty sky. No animals walked between the twisted columns of flowering sulfur. No fish could hope to survive in the steaming, badwater pools that fringed the trail. Not a flower bloomed there. A few fossilized stumps of ancient trees stood stark here and there among the bubbling lakes of yellow mud, blasted by the impossible climate and the stinking fumes that drove away any hint of clean air. There weren't even any flies humming through the fetid, humid air, or iridescent beetles to crawl around in the soft, sticky mud that seemed to lie everywhere. The friends trudged along in single file, Ryan out at point, JB bringing up the rear. The path snaked in a generally easterly direction, inland, gently upward. Despite that, all of them were finding it arduous going. The rad counters were still showing orange, though it seemed that they were sliding a little way down the scale, closer to the yellow section.
Can we stop for a sip or two of water? I still have a drop left in my canteen.
Best keep it.
Jack rubbed his fingers through his long white hair, staring in disgust at the bright yellow stains on them.
You keep yours?
Why don't you see for yourself?
The teenager tossed it hard at Trader.
It's fucking full.
Not quite. Took some small drinks. Most of it left, though.
Not all of us are Übermenches, my dear magnesium-maned chum.
Best we hold what water we've got, people. This is all undrinkable. Probably poisonous. Just keep going.
Like golden flowers of stone, aren't they?
Christy paused to look at a strange rock formation just to the left of the pathway. The rounded boulders were covered in a crystalline sulfur, in delicate stalactites, with water dripping from them into a large steaming pool.
What the fuck?
Trader brought the armalite to his shoulder.
Need more than bullets to try to stop that, my friend. Perhaps a particularly enormous cork driven into the vent of the geyser might do the trick.
Geyser? You mean one of those pissing jets of hot water? That's all it was?
Yeah. You can actually taste the warm spray.
There was a brief passage when they were walking along the rim of what looked like a missile crater, but the rad counters went soaring into the high orange, verging on the lethally dangerous crimson. But 100 yards farther, they had eased back down again into the low orange, and another quarter mile saw them showing yellow.
I thought it was clearing up a bit.
They followed the narrow winding trail down into a patch of much thicker fog. Ryan stopped before answering, not wanting to take the risk of carrying on walking while looking behind him. The path was less than a yard wide in places, sometimes covered in scattered stones, and sometimes slippery with thick ochre mud. To his right was a layer of crystallized rock salts that he suspected might only be a couple of inches thick, and covered over a lake of water that was close to the boiling point. On the left was a steaming swamp of foul-smelling mud. It ran as far as the eye could see into the mist. To stumble and fall on either side would mean at the best horrific scalding. At the worst, it would mean a hideous death. Everyone had stopped. There was no wind at all in the sheltered region, and the fog seemed to be a permanent feature, settled down over them like a large and noisome animal.
When we passed across that higher part by the old tree stumps, I thought I spotted clear ground a half mile ahead.
Can't go on forever.
My chest hurts.
Dean squatted on his heels.
Sooner we move on, sooner we find some clean air and green grass. Give me your hand, son.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, you're right, JB. Can't go on much longer.
Oh, damn.
Mildred sat beside Doc at a point where the track was wider. They'd stopped in a natural amphitheater with a small pool of water at its center. The fog had diminished until it was only a light mist.
You've got that right, as you would say, Dr. Wyeth.
Dean had walked down from the others and was sitting on a smooth rock, picking up pebbles and lobbing them into the steaming water. The boys seemed vastly better once they were away from the choking fumes of the fog.
It's amazing to think that all of this was once California.
The judgment of God on a truly biblical scale. Even in my day, the place was too wealthy, too smug and sure of itself. By the time Armageddon plunged from the skies, it can only have been 1,000 times worse. It considered itself the chosen land, did it not?
I guess so.
More like Sodom and Gomorrah.